The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander with apparently a plunging collar. Let me button that one up right there. All right, now we're ready to go. Wyatt Tomchek in a bit of an upset this morning, in for Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, Wyatt?
I was good. I like the button down. You know, yeah. I think we're helping out the VSiN Plus subscription count.
Ladies, no. We hope.
What was it? What was the love zone with?
The love zone, yeah. Kelly and I used to do that. We're like, ladies, feast your eyes, whatever we do. Kelly not doing well. We hope he's doing better. We were hoping he was doing better, and he sounded like he was doing better, but I guess not. So we hope he recovers from whatever is ailing him, and he's back lickety-split. Maybe he just doesn't want to hang out with me.
Unfortunately, we have transferred him to the 60-day IL.
We're going 60-day now?
Yes.
I don't know.
By the way,
let's do 10-day first.
I hate to overstep what you're thinking, but man, bravo for your Braves bet yesterday. I was so happy for you.
Well, so let's start there. By the way, on the show, Mark Borchard will join us with baseball picks today. Will Hill with baseball picks. Jason Weingarten will chime in. Mike Pritchard on the NFL. Sia Najad on golf. We'll do all that. Nick Whalen, NBA thoughts on the heels of James Harden throwing a hissy fit. Though some people are on James Harden's side on this. Let's start with that since you bring it up. Since you bring it up, Nick. Not Nick, because I just said Nick Whalen. Wyatt. Sorry, wires crossed. So this is one of these things where we talk about bets on a show. You know, if you lose a bet and it's a bad beat and then you talk about the bet and you're like, oh, well, our expected goals were this. Oh, we were so bad with runners in scoring position, right? Whatever. People are like, oh, you're making excuses, right? You know how some of the audience is. And if you win a bet and you talk about it, people are like, oh, you're chirping about the bet. Okay, neither is the case when we do this on this show. We're just trying to be objectively honest about what we're betting, either to the good or to the bad. And I think 99% of the audience gets that. But when we were leaving the studio yesterday, so what Wyatt is referring to is, if you missed the show yesterday, is we did the Q3 Derivatives Baseball show with Mark Borchard. We're actually doing the podcast version of that on the Beating the Book feed after this show today. So Borchard doing double duty. But one of the things that we talked about was first inning pitching. And Luis Severino of the Yankees had the single worst opponent's on-base percentage first innings this year. It was north of 500. So more than one in two times, the opposing batter is getting on base. That is not good. And then, of course, the Braves have this gaudy first inning run differential anyway to begin with. And so I said on the show yesterday, I'm betting the Braves to score in the first inning, plus 149. I bet it while the show was going on. I also bet it at plus 140. Then I bet the Braves, and this was all at VSiN.com/picks. Also, I said I'm betting the Braves every which way. So I bet the Braves minus a half a run, first five, minus a run and a half for the game. In other words, the run line. And it all worked out, and that's wonderful. But the reason, since you bring it up, why the reason I want to seize on it is just this reminder about sports betting that in these moments in time, it is incumbent upon us to make these bets. And that sounds very simple, but like when we were leaving the studio, and I'm not picking on John Goulet, he just actually triggers a great conversation about it. Goulet said, doesn't it just sound too good to be true? Severino's that bad. The Braves are this good. I mean, like, I was like, yeah, it could absolutely not work out. And sure enough, by the way, last night, even though Acuna was on third with no outs, and at that point it would have become a bad beat if we lost, we were within one strike of losing. It's just, after all, it's just one frame. Talking about the first inning bet now. It's just a half of a frame of baseball, right? So anything can happen. But sure enough, Olsen takes the walk, I believe it was, and then Ozuna goes yard, deep center, three-run Jimmy Jack, and we were on the board. So it all worked out. But the point that I said to Goulet, and he agreed with this after I countered, was because he's like, well, you know, it just doesn't sound too good to be true. Like, do I really want to make that bet? And I said, John, if we're not making this bet, what are we doing? Right. So like the whole analysis or the whole research, and this was just a stat based one, but it goes back to like last week, week one of the preseason, when we talked about the three leg 10 point teasers to the over, which again, week one of preseason last year, the permutations went 560-0. And this year with the one game not getting there, the Dolphins Falcons game, instead of 560-0, if you had played every single combination of three-team 10-point teasers or three-leg 10-point teasers to the over, it would have gone 455-105 for a two-year total of 1105-105. pretty good. But the point being, with both that, a moment in time with the low totals, just week one of preseason, and then this, where it was just the confluence of events perfectly with what we were talking about on the show, the matchup happened to be that given night. If you're not making those bets, then what are we doing at all? So just a reminder to seize those moments and be prepared to lose bets as well. And you have to be okay with losing those bets if and when those things do happen. That's just a friendly PSA. And it was an interesting exchange with Goulet after the show talking about that yesterday. But that worked out beautifully. And your Braves are looking like a juggernaut, dude.
You know, I mean, not only that, but to one hit the... I know the Yankees are struggling, but still to one hit a professional baseball team that has Aaron Judge was... very impressive. It was a much needed start for Bryce Elder. But yeah, you get Marcell Ozuna, who I think is the most, I want to say liable hitter, but the one that's probably not been the most consistent.
Yep.
For to get a 3-run home run with two outs, I mean, that was pretty impressive. But Gil, you know, you win this bet with the Yankees, or against the Yankees with the Braves, and then you bet the NL East last year. Can you bet them to win the World Series every year? Because it really would warm my heart that you're just have all this good luck right now.
Let's put it this way. And they have for all season. They appear to be playing a different sport than all other 29 teams. With the Dodgers being the sort of exception now because they're 13-1 in the month of August and don't appear to ever look to lose another baseball game ever. So the Dodgers are actually only 5 games worse. But... it does appear, at least when you watch these games, you know, week after week, month after month, that the Braves are just on a different level. Have I bet them to win the World Series? I have not. Baseball postseasons are very quirky, as we talked about, but they will avoid the best of three, obviously. So they're obviously the team to beat in the clubhouse, and I haven't backed them yet. We'll get to the baseball bets that we did talk about yesterday, because I think we gave them short shrift yesterday, so I want to repeat them for those who missed them. That don't involve the Braves, talk about make playoffs and also to win divisions. We'll get to those momentarily. So no bet yet quite yet on the Braves, but it's a beautiful thing, this team, for sure. Couple other things. One, there was the WNBA game last night, which was not in the standings, did not count in the WNBA standings, but it was the Commissioner's Cup, is that what we're calling it?
Yes, Commissioner's Cup.
Commissioner's Cup.
And then I believe every player each player won $30,000.
Well, so that's an interesting point. So for those who missed it, for the second time in a short time, the New York Liberty destroyed the Las Vegas Aces. Destroyed them. Now, by the way, the Aces led by 2 at the half, it should be noted. But then in the second half, sort of buoyed along by a couple Sabrina Ionescu's three-pointers, Liberty outscore the Aces by 20 in the second half. I guess they were up, they were down 1 at the half. They outscore the Aces by 20 in the second half. They win it by 19, 82-63. These two teams play again. By the way, they beat the Aces by 38 a couple Sundays ago. They play this Thursday here in Vegas again. Wonder what that line will be. Last night, the Aces were favored by 7.
When I looked at it early in the morning yesterday, 7, I think me and Parles, I went to the game with yesterday, yep. We were kind of talking about it. I would almost knock it down at half.
Well, it'll be interesting. And then the two teams meet in New York, final game in August, Monday, August 28th. So they played 2 more times. These two teams appear to be on a collision course to be in the WNBA championship. Steve Fezzik, who has been on the show many, many times, he texted me last night after this result where the Liberty just crushed him again. And he said, I think the Aces intentionally dumped both their games to the Liberty so they'll have the edge in the WNBA Finals. They averaged like 90 a game. They scored like 60 both games versus the Liberty, lost by 40 and 20 as a favorite. He's rounding the numbers off. He goes, could you ask Danielle if I'm crazy to think so? So I'm going to text Danielle about this. But then he makes the point that you made, Wyatt, which is, but how the hell did they lose with $30,000 a player bonus on the line for that game? And I sort of gravitate towards that last point. Maybe, and this is what I said to Steve, maybe they just don't match up well against Liberty. What was your and Parles' impression of this? We were there yesterday.
I mean, you know, the really impressive part with the Liberty is, you know, you talked about they were down at half. They got down by as much as 7 in the third quarter, and they came back. Me and Parles were talking about it. I think that they just match up really well. They really give Asia Wilson a lot of trouble.
She's
down low in the paint.
Two terrible games against them.
And, yeah. I mean, that's the heart and soul of the Aces. And Another thing, you know, this day and age of basketball, you got to have shooters. And, you know, Sabrina Ionescu struggled through three quarters, and she lit them up in the fourth quarter. And it's just, you know, the old saying, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So, I mean,
that
Liberty.
That first of those threes was just a ridiculous shot, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was one, it was like a step back, falling down, trying to beat the shot clock. But, I mean, when you're on there late in the fourth, that's a tough person to stop. And then Breonna Stewart, Stewie, I mean, she is one of the best players in the WNBA. So, I mean, I would say that the Liberty are much more closer to the aces than most people think.
So the question becomes, and I want to hear what Daniele has to say about this, but I'm curious what the line will be. If it is in fact cut in half, is that too big of an adjustment? And then is it really not quite the matchup problem that we're making it out to be with the bet be on the aces? Or if it's not adjusted at all, and people still think, the market still thinks the aces are so much better, maybe it's a play on the Liberty. I'm curious because this feels like a bettable event come Thursday night here in Las Vegas. Will you and Parles be dating on that one as well? Will you guys go out for that one?
He didn't buy me a beer, so
he didn't buy you a beer.
It's over.
Yeah, that was a big favorite to happen, but he would not buy.
Hey, but you know, was the big underdog for me not to pay for parking.
For you not to pay for parking?
I paid $0 for parking.
There you go.
I was very surprised. I was driving through. I'm like, is anybody gonna stop me? Anybody gonna stop me?
All right.
Out.
We'll come back on the other side. We'll review the five baseball bets, divisions, and yes, no to make the playoffs that we went over yesterday. We'll do them real quick. We'll get Will Hill's reaction to all of them. Three of the four teams won, so moved those bets along, if you will, incrementally last night. We'll get into that. We'll get into his baseball picks of the day. And then the strange O's the Mentalist performance yesterday, which I did not see. We'll talk about that next.
The Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Sweet Lou, Gambaloo, Lou Finicaro, nicest man on earth, just chimed in on the WNBA talk. He says, no one giving the Mystics any shot. That's the Washington Mystics, for those of you scoring at home. Top three players have been out for 6 weeks. If those three come back healthy, they break into the WNBA Finals. Don't forget, Mystics swept Las Vegas last year. 65-1 is the number on the Mystics to win it all. You like that? I like that.
I was
Della Don, one of the three, by the way.
I was looking at the odds, and I was like, boy, it's really just Aces, Mystics, Liberty, and everybody else.
Yeah, it drops off a cliff. Two things. One, before we get to Will, because Will Hill is patiently waiting by. So has this happened to anybody? I'm just very curious about this. A couple things. I got rid of my DirecTV in San Francisco years ago, switched over to Roku, no problem whatsoever. I waited a long time here in Vegas to get rid of my cable. I finally did. By the way, not much of a savings. I'm regretting the decision because it freezes. The Roku freezes here all the time on me. But this is the second time now, in the middle of the night, my TV turns on its own. So in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., my entire room lights up because of the TV. And I think it's daytime. I panic. I'm like, oh my God, am I late to work? And then I can never get back to sleep because then my mind starts racing into other things. I don't even think, do I have a ghost in the house? Which I probably should. But does that happen to anybody else? Because this was like an inexplicable event that keeps happening now.
Can't say that I've had the TV turn on me.
The other thing, did you see Hard Knocks episode number 2 with O's the Mentalist?
I did. I was sitting there with my roommate. I was like, hey, we had him on our show, and he got our guest really good.
Yeah. He got me really good.
You good? Right, there we go.
Yes. For those who missed it, I will repost this. I haven't seen it yet, and we should probably give people anyway a couple days to watch it before we spoil anything. But O's the Mentalist came on this show remotely, and he's Crack's friend, by the way, too. O's came on the show. I had a deck of cards. I pulled one out, sat on it, literally. He told me to sit on it. It was the 8 of clubs. He guessed the 8 of clubs. Okay. That was one thing. Then he asked me, pick any athlete in any sport that you haven't mentioned in forever. Just somebody who you haven't thought about. And for whatever reason, in my head, Dan Marley, Thunder Dan, came up in my head. He guessed Dan Marley. I got to post that video. It is the freakiest thing that's ever happened to me.
He had some good ones on the Jets. I was very impressed.
I'm looking forward to watching that. Very much looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no explaining this next guest either. He's amazing. Will Hill, not the Will Hill, VSiN Zone. How you doing, William?
I'm okay. Don't try to kiss up to me now. I heard you say Lou's the nicest man on the planet. I'm sitting right here. I mean, how dare you?
Well, Lou, that's sort of his brand. You know what I mean? You're right up there. You're the nice guy. let me go through a few of these bets, or let's go with the five bets that we talked about yesterday to begin the show, because I think like we gave it a bit of short shrift. It was only on for a few minutes. I want to get your reaction to this. There were three to make the postseason bets, and there were two division to win division bets. And the reason that these came up is because I was looking at the fan graphs and baseball reference projections and then juxtaposing them against the betting odds in both markets. And these were the five that represented value. So to make the playoffs, the Mariners priced at plus 180 at DraftKings. And of course, always shop around. There could be a better price somewhere else. But we'll use the DraftKings prices. Mariners plus 180. If you believe baseball references numbers, they ought to be plus 123. What's your reaction to that one? Do you like that bet?
First of all, they have played some insane games really the last 5 days, including last night, which was just a strange game. I worry they used up their hot streak just to get even. We see this sometimes, like in a basketball game, a team's down 15 points and they rally, they tie it, and they're just out of gas. And the other team, you know, they don't have the energy to finish the game. So I know the schedule is reasonable here, but I worry that they'll have to catch Toronto. And to me, Toronto's got a 12-game stretch here, end of August, early September, where they play nothing but the Royals, the A's, the Nationals, the Rockies. And I don't think you're catching either of the Astros or the Rays. Look, I've made this bet. I bet them to win the World Series last week. I think 55-1. I don't think my bet's getting home. So I don't like the Mariners bet. I wouldn't add to it. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Mariners are two games out of a wild card spot as we speak. The Cubs are one game out, despite their loss last night to the White Sox. Cubs are just one game out of a wild card spot behind the Marlins, who inhabit the number three position right now in the National League. Yesterday, isolated them as a bet. That minus 125 for them to make the postseason at DraftKings is a sensational bet if you believe the baseball reference projection, which should have them, based on their probability percentage, north of minus 200. Do you like that bet?
Yeah, this is one where I do agree with the baseball reference number more than the other number. I do think it's a good bet. I think their schedule's reasonable. I just think they're a good team. Even when they weren't, you know, winning games with these other teams, like the run differential was really good. I do think that... That is a good bet. That's one I'd actually make.
Okay, here's the controversial one. The third of the make the postseason is the Giants. Now, I talked about this in the first segment yesterday. Borchardt came on later and agreed with this. The Giants to make the postseason at minus 145. Now, keep in mind, after the Giants routed the Rays last night, 7-0, they are in the number two position in the wild card race. They're, you know, 2.5 games from being, or I should say, to be precise, two games from being on the outside looking in. So they're ensconced, but it's, you know, it's not the most solidified thing in the world. But they're minus 145 to make the postseason. And if you believe FanGraphs projection, they should be all the way at minus 330 because they have them at like 62% or something like that to make the postseason. What do you think about that one?
I agree. I think the 145 is short. I mean, this was $2 or $3 this weekend when I was doing the show with Ben Wilson. We were doing this exercise, best bets to make or miss the playoffs. And I thought no was an interesting bet at them this weekend. No was an interesting price, but it was like plus 250. It was definitely north of $2. Now that you're -$1.45 to make it, I'm sure that number has changed overnight because you get this late in the season, one win or loss changes these numbers a little bit. But at 145, I would certainly play the yes. I think they'll make it. What I think is an interesting question: how many wins will it take? What's the fewest amount of wins it'll take to get one of these wild card spots? Like, can you get in? Like, 85 will probably get you in. Could you get in with like 83 or 84? We have six teams and seven, if you want to include the Padres, bunched in for these wild cards. I don't know that it's going to take like 87 or 88. I think 87, you know, clearly gets you in. I'm curious what you think in terms of a number that gets you in, and I'm dying for the day where they actually put a number on
it. I was going to say
Vegas,
but that would be a cool market to have. By the way, let me clarify really cool one thing. The Giants at FanGraphs, because these are always changing, they're north of a 70% chance to make the playoffs per FanGraphs, which would have them in the high minus 200s, by the way, not quite what we posted there up on the screen. I would love to answer your question. What number gets you as the third wild card? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So the fewest number of wins that you can actually make it with.
It's probably going to end up being around 85, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I think 85 probably gets you in.
Yeah.
The question is, like, does 83 or 84 get you in? It's just, it's fascinating because there are six of these teams. They're all bunched up. Nobody's really much better than the other. The interesting team, I think, is Arizona now. I think they're almost $4, yes, to make the playoffs at a plus price. They basically lost every day for a month, and they finally won 3 out of 4. They get Kelly back. Do they get a second life here? Do they get a second wind and start to play like the team we saw in the first half? They're not that far out of it for a team that, you know, basically lost every day in July. So that's an interesting team, but should be a fun race. Once football starts, I know it goes under the radar, but man, these are going to be some great races.
I'm with you. Like, as much as I love football, there's nothing better than, you know, home stretch baseball and then postseason baseball. That's why October is the greatest month there is. But to your point about the Diamondbacks, yeah, they're only 2.5 out of a playoff berth. Only 2.5 out. The Reds, for goodness sake, are only 1 out. We were saying this in the American League. I mean, we could say that about the Red Sox only being 3 out. We could have said that about the Yankees for a long stretch, too. But now the Yankees are actually 6.5 out of a playoff spot. So we can't really say that about them anymore. Real quick, the two division bets that we isolated yesterday. I'm curious your thoughts on these. One was the Cubs at plus 210 to win the NL Central. If you believe the baseball reference number, they should only be plus 122. And then the Rangers, again, if you believe the baseball reference percentages, they're only minus 155. They should be minus 260.
Yeah, I like both of those. I really like the Rangers. I mean, it feels like that race has been played in a corridor of like 1 to 4 games here for months, where the Astros never get to the point where they tie it or take the lead, and the Rangers can never pull away where it's like 6 or 7. It's always 2, 3. Now it's up to, I think, 4 in the loss column, but they only have one series head-to-head. It's in Texas starting on Labor Day. So if Texas can win 2 out of 3 there, I know the Astros have a 12-game stretch where they play a bunch of A's and a bunch of Royals. So the Rangers are probably going to need a cushion for that. But I think the Rangers are a little short there. I like the Rangers, and I like the plus price on the Cubs as well. I'm for both of those.
If the Rangers win the World Series, does Bruce Bochy immediately go on Mount Rushmore of managers?
Yes, I think you would have to, yes.
Yeah. Hall of Famer already, but we're talking Mount Rushmore at that point. I will get Will's thoughts on today's Major League Baseball slate and beyond. He's got thoughts on lots of things. Plug away, by the way, Will, before we go to break. What do you got?
Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork, 1 o'clock Eastern today. Check it out.
1 o'clock Eastern. More with Will Hill on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, the 2023 College Football and NFL Betting Guides. Both the College Football Guide and our NFL Betting Guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. And the only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This one was from Andy V the other day. Actually, yesterday, I believe it was. He is tweeting us a codified baseball tweet about the most out-of-zone pitches called strikes when on defense. So in other words, who's gotten the best of umpires calling balls that should actually be called balls, but strikes instead? The San Francisco Giants, the biggest beneficiaries, 463 pitches this year that should have been called a ball were called strikes. And by the way, the next closest is 42 pitches less than New York Mets. So the Giants have really gotten the best of it. Now, part of that is, if you go to a site like Baseball Savant, Patrick Bailey of the Giants is the second best pitch framer in all of baseball. So he does a great job fooling umpires as well. The Mets, who are the second most, have Francisco Alvarez. He's the third best pitch framer. So part of that is just having a guy behind home plate who is consistently fooling the umpire. But those are the numbers from Codify Baseball. Thank you for that, Andy V. By the way, did everybody see that? Do you see that Red Sox against Justin Turner yesterday?
Yes. That was horrid.
Horrid. I pointed that that's about as bad as I've seen in a long time. And that was a called third strike in that game. It was just awful in that game. We also get tweets. This is from Teasers and Parlays. Love Zone reference cashes at 50 to 1 in the first segment. Get to feeling better, Kelly Bidlin. This is from Jason Stark regarding your TV. It's the government. He says that. This is 3Jack, H3131. TV turning on in the middle of the night. Have you considered the possibility of aliens? Jesse Welch, most inexplicable thing that Oz the Mentalist did was practically bringing up Immaculate Grid-type thinking on your show 6 months before Immaculate Grid even existed. Rick Ollier, you aren't alone. I, too, have had issues with my TV turning on at all hours of the night. All I did to make it stop was say the word Beetlejuice 3 times. I hope this helps. And Beef Venom Boy, yup, Roku device creeps me out sometimes. Thing has a mind of its own, but I love it. It takes some time to get used to. Yeah, I had no problems with it in San Francisco. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a second segment here to give us his baseball thoughts. By the way, about the umpiring and just the fact that this appears year to year, I mean, it's getting worse and worse. Tell me it's inevitable that balls and strikes called by human beings is going to go away.
I think we'll at least get, I don't know if you've seen this, but in the minor leagues, they have a challenge system. And it's pretty seamless where the batter taps the top of his helmet. They look it over and, hey, it's the correct call or not call, and the game moves on. I don't know that we'll go full robots, at least not at first, but there's got to be some. A 1-1 pitch with no two out and nobody on. We don't need challenge on that. But the high leverage ones, the ones that are egregious, I think there is some sort of way to weed out these just ridiculous calls. And I do have some sympathy for these umps because these guys throw so hard. The ball's moving. I've always thought you get a better angle from behind the pitcher than behind the plate. That's a tough angle behind the plate, I feel like. Especially with how hard and how much movement. But man, that one last night, when it's that far outside, I mean, what makes you think that's within the zone? I don't understand getting fooled that much. And it harkens back memories to Leon Hernandez in the, boy, it had to be the 1997, I think, NLCS, where pitches are just in the other batter's box. And Bob Costas is getting all excited about these strikeouts.
It's just Bob Costas is not even mentioning that they were bad calls. Oh, what a pitch by LeVon. It's like the ball's in the dugout. Okay, what do you play today in the league? Full slate of games, all day baseball. Love it. What do you got?
Yes, I've got 3 plays. I played the Reds, first 5 team total over 2.5. I'm fading Syndergaard. He's been a little better since Cleveland, at least on the service stats, but he's still getting hit really hard. He pitched in Cincy a couple months ago, gave up 6 runs in 3 innings, gave up a couple of homers. So getting 3 runs in 5 innings in this Cincy ballpark with that lineup against Syndergaard, I think, is reasonable. So I'm going to fade Syndergaard. Syndergaard's one of these pitchers where you just look, like you mentioned in the first segment, you fade some of these guys and you live with the results, whether it's Syndergaard, Dallas Keuchel, Wainwright, Severino. Syndergaard's in that category over a 6 ERA. His other numbers aren't very good. So Reds, first 5 team total over 2.5. I laid a run and a half with the Braves. You said the Braves are playing a different sport than everyone else. I can tell you this. They're playing a different sport than the Yankees. The Yankees are just a dreadful team right now.
Yes.
Judge can't even walk. I mean, he hit a slow roller early in the game last night.
Shut him down.
Off the bat, he beat it out when he's not even close. So, and plus, you could just walk him in high leverage spots. So I'll just take my chances laying the run and a half with Atlanta. And the third one is under 4.5, first 5, Twins, Tigers. Same pitching matchup is 5 or 6 days ago. It was last Thursday, Maeda against Reese Olson. I don't love doing this, backing the under when these teams see the pitcher for, twice in the same week, because I feel like it's an advantage to the hitter. But this game was 1-0 in the 7th or 8th inning last time. It was a pitcher's duel. Both these offenses are not very good. Day game, Maeda's been great here. 8 out of the last 9 starts, 2 runs or less. He's been really good. Olson, I think there's some positive regression. He's probably better than his surface stats when you look at the batting average and balls in play. So under 4.5, Twins, Tigers. So those are the 3 plays for today.
Give me the Will Hill baseball betting pie on a daily basis. What percentage or what slice of the pie, by percentage is pre-flop? What is in-game? What is other things that you're doing? Derivative markets, prop markets, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a pretty split mixed bag between pitcher props, which I think have gotten a little sharper here because I've liked to actually play overs on these where, I like this pitcher, I like this matchup, but I feel like with it becoming more mainstream that people like to play over. So these overs are getting jacked. So you have to, play the unders or just not play it. But it's a mixed bag of pitcher props, totals. I do play a lot of totals side. So it's really diversified. And I've mentioned this to you before, man. I know you don't have a lot of these options in Vegas, but if you were handicapping baseball full time, you would not even close to have enough time in the day with all the options in terms of, hey, will a batter strike out today? Will he get a hit? Over under hits. There's so many moving parts. How many outs will the pitcher record? There are so many. There's endless markets. You could spend 8 to 10 hours just on one game breaking down the different markets. So it's a lot. It's a little overwhelming. I sort of like the lighter cards on Monday and Friday when there's just less baseball because there's so much to handicap.
So on all of those, because I'm curious, because you're right, we don't have these in Nevada. So when I hear about this stuff, it really is fantasy land. Now, Will Hill just put out a new app. I haven't looked at it yet. Maybe it has some stuff. I know Caesars has it to some degree. But what is your instinct on, you know, with all of those markets, what percentage of those do you think they actually, the bookmaker doesn't have a real true mathematical handle on? In other words, they ought to be well researched and you know, done by math, and those lines ought to be tight. But is your instinct that there are some that are not tight at all?
I think the more obscure ones, like batter hits, especially guys, you know, eighth, ninth in the lineup, guys that might not even start, which I think most of these books, if they don't start, the bet's a push. But some of these guys, I think that it's not properly built in sometimes at the bottom of the lineup that, hey, they might get pinch hit for. They might only get a couple of bats. It's a platoon situation where they're only starting because it's a lefty. And if the lefty's out in the fourth or fifth inning, they might get swapped out and you get a plus number on those. So I would say batter hits is one that's beatable.
Yeah. So some of that in-game stuff has to be for sure. Let's go back to your point about the Braves. I've asked this of other people. I haven't asked it of you, which is, and maybe you did answer it already by saying you have a Mariners play, but what's the team that if you think they sneak in to the postseason, you're like, okay, we haven't really talked a lot about them, but they might actually be live to go deep.
I think it's hard to find a sleeper because everyone agrees like the AL's wide open and the NL, it's the Braves and everyone else. I'll say the Mariners just because I think Castillo at the top of the rotation and some of those pitchers, you know, Kirby and Gilbert, who it's been up and down, but I think the Mariners have the pitching to make a run. And they played pretty well in the postseason last year. I mean, they beat Toronto in that best of three. They really played Houston. It was a sweep on paper, but all, you know, two of those three games at least could have gone either way. They played them tough. So I will say Seattle is live if they get in. Should be a great postseason because if you look at the American League, these really good teams don't have great pitching. Texas, Baltimore, Tampa's losing pitchers left and right. We're not going to see McClanahan here for a couple of years. It's just crazy. You know, when these pitchers get hurt and have surgery this late, they just go away for a couple of years. So it should be a fun playoffs. You know, I don't know if I would take, let me ask you, Braves versus the field, at least in the National League, would you still take Atlanta? I'd be inclined to. I know their pitching's not great either, but. Yeah, I just think they're better than everyone.
It's funny because I was going to, my next thing was going to be about the Braves. First of all, your point about the AL is great. It does feel like it's just different grades of sleeper, right? Like even the Orioles and the Rangers feel like sleeper-ish. And the Astros somehow are the veteran team that might not be considered that. But we always say this, I've said 1,000 times on this show, the baseball postseason, and we did this with the Braves and the Mets last year, like the difference between winning a division and not is just massive because you have to play the best of three and the vagaries of the game can take over. And the postseason in general in baseball, right? When we said, you know, in hockey, you have to play a best of 51 to have the same percentage of favorites manifest. Well, in baseball, you have to play a best of 75 compared to basketball's best of 7 to have the favorites manifest. And yet, I'm with you on the Braves. I just think they are different, right? Every night you go like, they'll figure it out. It's like the 2001 or 2000 Mariners, where every time they were the 116 win team, every time they rolled out there, you're like, they'll figure it out. They'll just out-hit everybody, you know?
Yeah, just such a deep lineup. I mean, just bat after bat, it's crazy.
Let me go with this. What's the number you would take on the Braves versus the field in the National League?
Anything at a plus price, I would take Atlanta.
All right. We'll end on that. Will, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Appreciate it. I'll get one more plug in. Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork. Thanks.
Nick Whalen on Hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I tell you what, I just cannot wait till Nevada has legalized sports betting. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on air. Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 and over wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Nevada, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPE New York. That's HOPENY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomcheck hanging out in for the ailing Kelly Bidlin. We wish Kelly a speedier recovery. I don't think we can say speedy recovery anymore because that would not qualify.
Yeah, because I would say he said it started hurting him over the weekend. So at this point, you're just like, cross my fingers that everything's okay.
I'm concerned because if he keeps thinking it's getting better and then it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
All right, we hope for the best.
So it's like a player trying to come back from a hamstring injury. It's like, oh, yeah, he's day-to-day. And what? You're just waiting for that day to keep coming and coming.
Like I said, or he's just sick of me. It could be that as well. It's very possible.
Or sick of me. Oh, you know what? He's sick of Kev.
Sick of Kevy Kev in the corner.
Yeah, I know. No pizza rolls today again.
Skill Alexander, I don't know if you know this, but it's August, and we have betting lines in the NBA. Season wins, in-season tournament, all kinds of stuff. Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us to help us along. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing well, guys. It's good to be back. I know we were kind of in the true dark period of the NBA calendar for the last month or so, but you know, in a couple weeks here, once this FIBA tournament wraps up, we'll almost be to camp.
Are you into the FIBA tournament? Are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. I always love watching, you know, the international basketball. I mean, for someone who loves the NBA, it's kind of like, you know, getting an all-star game where you get all these guys together and, you know, the Olympics are one thing, but I almost enjoy watching these FIBA teams more when you get the kind of secondary younger players playing together. You know, you got Paolo Banchero playing at center. You got Jaren Jackson, you know, kind of taking on more of a, you know, offensive focused role than we've seen from him in recent years. So I always love to see the team dynamics, because you're bringing 10 to 12 guys into camp that are all, you know, top three at worst options on their own team. And, you know, how that hierarchy shakes out is always really interesting.
Are you betting it? Is it bettable to you or not really?
I haven't been betting it. I mean, I haven't even looked if the lines are up for the exhibitions. Now, when we get to the end of August and the actual tournament begins, then absolutely I'll be in on that. But I haven't bet the exhibition games.
Okay. Before we get to some of the things I mentioned at the top here, I'm contractually obligated to ask you about James Harden and his going off on Daryl Morey the other day, saying, I'm never playing for a team with that liar. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, that was the gist. Sixers win total, we said, was 49.5 yesterday. I'll double check on what it is now. There were James Harden next team odds that were up there, not currently at the moment that we're doing this. I see them up right now. Mm-hmm. Do you think he ends up with the Sixers when all is said and done? What's your instinct?
I'm actually seeing some James Harden next team odds up at the DraftKings Sportsbook right now.
Oh, maybe
and
we
could find them. The Sixers are plus 350, and the Clippers are minus 280, which to me is an indication as to where these situations almost always end up going, right? I think I've said the same thing on your show about Damian Lillard a few months ago. When a player of James Harden or Damian Lillard's caliber says, I want to play for this team, and that's the only team I want to play for, historically, the player ends up with that team. Like Kawhi Leonard is kind of the only example of that not working out. And even Kawhi, you know, it's not like he really gave a destination. He just said, I want out of San Antonio. And, you know, the Spurs sent him up to Toronto. But players just have so much power in these situations. I think teams, rightfully so, are terrified to jump in on the sweepstakes for a player like Harden or a player like Lillard. When they say, I want to go to this team and this team only, especially James Harden, a guy who we've seen, you know, kind of loaf it in other situations, force his way out of multiple situations just in the last few years. Like, I don't think we can assume that James Harden is bluffing. And you know, no matter what Daryl Morey and the Sixers put out there publicly, I you know, the word that Harden and his camp keep using is uncomfortable. You know, they want to make the Sixers uncomfortable heading into camp. And, you know, if there's one GM in the league, I think, who's prepared to take this to a standoff, it is Daryl Morey. But the question is, if you're the Sixers, like, are you prepared to potentially waste this season? Because I don't know if James Harden and his camp are going to back down either.
I'm not laying that kind of juice on you know, going to the Clippers, though. These things have a way of shifting in a very strange way. If I could have bet it, if the market's in front of me, I probably don't bet it. Let me ask you, because they just have the cup here, the Commissioner's Cup in the NBA, the WNBA with the Aces and the Liberty. So it calls to mind that Adam Silver's dream of having an in-season tournament in November is happening. We have at DraftKings, there's group numbers. There's actually to win the in-season tournament. This is way ahead of, you know, when this is happening. Would you imagine that this would be something that you will bet into? Because there is, I guess, you know, we threw it out. Would the angle be that a team, you know, a young team that is just looking for a feather in their cap might try in a way that another won't, or am I reaching on that?
I think we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, I have no idea how teams are going to handle this. I think the NBA, you know, behind the scenes, I think is really going to push for teams to take this seriously, right? I would imagine that we're not going to see, you know, if Kawhi Leonard's healthy, he's not going to be sitting out one of the play-in tournament qualification games, right? I think the NBA is going to want to highlight this as much as it can. So I do think for the most part, you know, teams are going to take it seriously, but you're right. You know, LeBron and the Lakers, you know, are they really going to push to win the in-season tournament? Not necessarily. You know, I think your line of thinking is correct here. You know, some of these teams that feel like they need a feather in their cap, feel like they need to prove something during the regular season, those are the teams that I would target if you're betting the in-season tournament. And you know, you're not getting great odds on a lot of these groups. And some of it, you know, you got to see how it shakes out. You know, where we are injury-wise by the time, you know, we get to late November and the in-season tournament, you know, really begins in earnest. But yeah, you look at a team like Sacramento, for example, that's kind of like the exact type of team that it feels like might push for this. And it would really mean a lot to that franchise. They're in a group with Golden State, Minnesota, OKC, and the Spurs. You know, if you're really excited, you know, about the in-season tournament and you just have to put some money down, yeah, maybe throw some down on the Spurs at or the Kings, excuse me, at plus 250 to win their group.
There's so many things to bet on already at DraftKings. There's seeding. There is not only your standard to make the playoffs, but there's exact season wins.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole Victor Wembanyama section.
A whole Wembanyama section. There's most regular season wins, which, by the way, if you're scoring at home, it looks like the, there are matchups, right? Bucks versus Celtics, for instance. The Celtics are minus 135, the Bucks plus 105. There's most regular season wins. The Nuggets and the Celtics are your short shots at plus 330. The real one I want to ask you about is regular season wins, which are up. Was there any of these that stood out to you?
I think a lot of the numbers really jumped out to me. A lot of relatively low numbers, I feel like, for you know, the elite teams. You know, you think of, you know, Milwaukee, I think, is down at like 52.5.
52.5.
You know, this is a team that, yeah, went healthy. I mean, last year they won 58. And you know, I think Giannis missed a little bit more time excuse me, than most people expected. They're basically bringing back the same roster. Not a lot of room, you know, on the edges to make tweaks to that roster. I think, you know, maybe some of this line is implying that perhaps Brooke Lopez in what will be, I think, his age 36 season, maybe doesn't stay as healthy. And obviously, if that's the case, you know, Milwaukee's defense won't be nearly as good. But, you know, getting basically a 6-win discount on last year from the Bucks was an interesting one to me. So I'd go over on 52.5. I think they're in that zone where, you know, they've won the title. It's really all it's title or bust at this point every year. They don't care if they win 48 games or they win 60 games in the regular season. But as long as they stay relatively healthy, I think they're going to be good enough to get to the mid-50s. You know, the Suns at 51.5 is going to be really interesting. That one is shaded to the under on 51.5. And I kind of agree with that. You know, at this point with Kevin Durant, you got to pencil in, what, 15, 20 games where he's not in the lineup during the regular season. I mean, Bradley Beal has missed significant time each of the last couple of years. Devin Booker has missed time over the last couple of years. They have very little depth. And, you know, we've seen over and over when these super team builds come together, very rarely does that team start the season like 15-1. You know, you think of the Miami Heat back in the day, they were like, you know, 8-7, I think, through their first 15 games. I don't know that it's a given that this team, you know, hits the ground running and is just fantastic from the start. I think they're going to, you know, kind of strategically rest those guys, make sure they're where they need to be in March and April. So I actually like the under on 51.5 for Phoenix.
All right. 54.5 is the high mark for the Nuggets. 24.5 is the low mark with the Wizards. Oh, man, they can't get to 24.5. It's very possible. Just real quick, OKC, 43.5. Was that higher than you wanted it to be? We'll leave on that.
Well, as someone who loves this Thunder team and really likes the core that they've put together, yeah, I would love for the total to be sitting at like 19.5, and I could just hammer the over.
Well, yeah, not that, but versus high 30s, for instance, right?
Like, No, it's a little higher than I'd like. I'd still go over. I think this team, depending on how many games they want to win, that's what's been hard to judge OKC over the last couple of years because they've given so many games away. They basically have not had a center on their roster the last 2 years. So I think going from this rotation of G League guys at the five, all of a sudden, Chet Holmgren is your starting center. I think that's going to give them a big boost.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Mike Pritchard on the NFL next.